how does all that change? You talked about you guys are a for-profit organization. Of course you are.
Yeah.
How does all of that change translate into client value, you know, value to your clients, and therefore more profits for you? How do clients respond?
Very simply, our very relevance and sustainability as a business is dependent on how we change and stay connected to what's going on around us. And what I mean by that is being connected and relevant to our clients as much as we are to the profession as a whole. So a lot of time spent with the clients to understand what their needs are is going to make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Difference, yeah. Mm. So one of the areas, for example, contract management solutions that we're creating, those basically are situations where we go to a client and say, look, you've got, let's say it's a big client, you've got, and it's a supermarket, you've got 1,000, you know, contracts that you have for buying everything from salt, sugar, whatever, and you have lease agreements, right? And you have about 15 lawyers who are just managing these arrangements. Why don't you entrust that with us? We'll create a solution that will do automatic tracking of these contracts and ensure that you have a 3-month head start before termination to renegotiate with your vendors. So you don't lose that, you know, the extra bit that a lot of people are losing today. Because you lose that, you go back to vendor, if it's expired, say, oh yeah, we'll give it to you, but we'll probably charge you another 2 cents. And 2 cents multiplied by a million units is a lot of money. And those kinds of advantages, value add, meaning we bring technology and we add value to the clients, not just in terms of the quality of our work, but the way in which we manage the client's commercial risk is what's going to differentiate us from others. Us meaning, you know, tech-savvy lawyers, and law firms who deploy technology and those who don't. Because a traditional lawyer will say, oh, I'll cut my fees. Right? We try to be cheaper than your in-house counsel. That's a losing game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a race to the bottom. Mm-hmm. That's just not the right way to do things. Mm-hmm. I think we've unfortunately been very good at racing to the bottom in Singapore, which is why our fees are so much lower compared to other jurisdictions. Having said that, is that a sustainable proposition? No, it's not. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, we need to really add value through this example. For, you know, increase risk, or rather reduce the client's risk, take a lot of the burden off them and give them significant value that they never had before. Mm-hmm. And still continue providing good quality contracts, obviously. Mm. The other advantage for us, of course, is then if there are disputes, then guess who they come to? It'll be the firm that gave them the solution that they're using today. Mm-hmm. So that's how this industry will move forward. It's a race. It's really a race because there are many international firms who are doing extremely well in areas like RegTech, for example, and contract management solutions. And so they've got ready platforms which they'll roll out to their clients and say, look, use us. And that's going to create lock-in. Which is great for clients, I've got nothing wrong with that. But as lawyers, we need to respond to that by coming up with solutions rapidly ourselves. And we don't have much headroom. In my estimation, about 3 to 5 years, and that's probably overestimating it, before a lot of this work will become commoditized and will be done through automated systems. So if law firms are not ready with these solutions out there, we will not be players in that space. And a lot of legal tech companies will likely come in and take that area over and do it extremely well. So to continue being relevant, we need to really adopt technology from that standpoint, and that will ensure that we continue to be profitable and grow.
I feel like that also requires sort of a mindset change, because I feel lawyers, the way we're used to operating is, you know, sort of the client comes to us with a problem. We don't go looking for that problem a lot of the times.
That's a good point.
You know, and sort of listening to the client's issues requires you to go looking for problems and exploring and saying, maybe I won't find anything, but let me see what I find. And how have, you know, sort of how have you managed to change that kind of mindset at the partnership level and maybe even with the younger lawyers?
It's a challenge, I agree. There's a general perception that, you know, we wait and work will come. And for certainly for the better lawyers, it does. And for larger firms like ours, it's not an issue. The work will always be there to some extent. But I think if you recognize, and we do recognize what's going on with the legal tech sector today, there is a group of very bright, enterprising young lawyers who have a much more commercially savvy mindset, who are more than willing to go out there and say, look, you know, we know what the legal issues are. We've got a solution. And guess what? We're going to be marketing it aggressively to the marketplace. And then when you're dealing with that sort of situation where you have now professional, we have firms, not law firms, but private limited companies who are going out to the market with solutions to solve legal problems, we cannot follow the old style where we just sit back and say, look, this is a captive market. It's a closed market. You to become a lawyer, you need to go through the bar, become a qualified person. And therefore, there's a, and let's be very, very clear. Is this a degree of market control that was there, by as far as professionals are concerned? That's going to go away. The reason why I'm fighting, and many of us are fighting this fight to liberalize and become multidisciplinary in nature, some are not very happy with the approach that I'm taking, because why are we making it easier for these guys to do what they're doing? Because by doing this, we, in a sense, we're also legitimizing legal tech companies. My very simple answer is, whether we like it or not, they are going to gain traction, and they're going to do a damn good job at it. When you have companies at LegalZoom able to raise $500 million, it's quite clear that they're going to next do the Netflix model for the legal sector. And they're already primed. It's just a matter of time before they start opening the offices all over and customizing their contractual products for use in every country. That is the model that we're dealing with today. So we have to change. We have to adopt the technology and go to market. And that will force the lawyers to then realize that the old style waiting for work to come, not going to happen. You've got no more captive market. It's an open playing field. We have to be competitive and go out there and get. So our only response will be, please let us compete on the same footing so that we can go out there and continue to stay relevant. So we can change mindsets, you know, as Rocio has said, to get the lawyers to become more enterprising, and more entrepreneurial in a sense. So setting up Raja and Dunn Technologies, the other reason why we do that also is to try and bring out from the firm individuals who have that same entrepreneurial spirit to be able to, you know, exercise that within the firm. I mean, if you're familiar, and I'm sure you are familiar with the legal tech sector in Singapore, you'll find many ex-R&T lawyers, for example.
Everywhere.
Yes, we are all over. And that's the reason for that is the firm has always adopted the stance of allowing people to grow, go out, improve yourselves, and at some point maybe come back, and if not, let's be partners. And that spirit is great because it means that we have essentially a very strong legal tech alumni today, and we still exchange notes and learn from one another. Moving forward, what we would like to do with Raja and Tan Technologies is to see if we can host these younger individuals within that private sector, give them the slate board that they need, and go out there and invent something that none of us ever have thought of before, but that's relevant to the legal sector. And I'm sure we've got a few young chaps who are in there now who will, I'm sure, will come up with some great ideas. It's what law firms do best, I think, the incubation aspect, the mentorship that we've always provided to the younger lawyers. Now we sort of bring that to another level by giving them not just the mentorship, but also a legal entity to expand and grow in.
When, you know, when we talk about change and we talk about, you know, what legal technology is doing for us and developing new legal technologies, and there's also a lack of familiarity with what these services cost, the skills required in order to build them, and the time that it takes, project management. So that implementation, the resourcing aspect, the money aspect, often, you know, sort of comes as a surprise sometimes for a lot of lawyers who do have amazing ideas and are enterprising and, you know, sort of do want to pursue really interesting things. What are some of the ways that you have found to either raise awareness about this or you know, overcome the challenges that you faced around these issues?
Sure. I think in this current time frame is probably the best time for people to do what they need to do. For example, the advent of co-working spaces has meant the first issue of getting a place to do this is no longer an issue. There's so many plans. I mean, the ones we worked out with Flip, for example, have worked out so well for so many of the startups in the legal tech space. Just to get that little bit of space, number one. Number two, community, right? The community spirit amongst legal tech firms is something that has to be experienced. You don't see that in the legal fraternity even. If you go to Law Society, SAL, you know, yeah, we're friends because we studied together at university, you know, or we did it together at the bar, but then you have a competitive streak coming in.
Right.
The legal tech community is quite different. There's a recognition that we're all kind of starting from ground zero.
Right.
We're all trying to achieve really nice, impressive, you know, solutions ourselves. But there's so much we can learn by working together rather than working against one another. So the ecosystem has fundamentally changed also here. So a person coming in and trying to do legal tech startup, I can fully understand why a university student, for example, has got any exposure to, let's say, Flip Projects or WeWork or any of the co-working spaces, will say, this is where I want to work.
Mm.
And you've done a law firm secondment, you say, you know, that co-working space seemed a lot nicer in terms of work environment than this, which is why we ourselves as a law firm are looking at how we can change our own environment, as many firms are. Can we adopt a more open working environment, things like that? And that's what we're doing by moving to our new office in the next 9 months, where we're going to adopt a much more open working environment space. Those are the types of changes that people have today, which will make it a lot easier for them to be able to start their business compared to before.
Sort of out of everything that you've shared with us today and in your journey, what is the one thing that you think is most helpful to drive progress in this area?
Oh, the most important is community. To have the ability to work with like-minded individuals, not purely in a competitive environment, but in a collaborative environment, it's very, very special. So, I mean, examples would be when I, to speak from personal experience, got involved in the Flip journey and started taking part, for example, in hackathons. The kind of camaraderie, the friends, the relationships that we built there still are strong today.
That was special.
One event.
Absolutely.
And since then, there have been many other such events, you know, where I speak, where I go there and listen and share ideas. People have been so open in the local firms, the international firms, everyone, in terms of trying to together work through this journey. And I think it's so important because, just like for the reasons I mentioned earlier, it's a very different exercise we're undertaking now.
Mm.
It's one where a lot of sharing is needed, a lot of co-learning, if I can use that term, is necessary. And people need to be willing to share their wins and their losses. So I've shared a lot of the wins. There have been losses as well. That kind of sharing is priceless and not something that we're very familiar with in a place like Singapore. It's something I'm very familiar with because, for example, I've been very active in areas like the Society for Computers and Law all the way from my degree days in the late 90s. And that society is still going on now. And that is an organization where you'll find, for example, an event held in DLA Piper's office, but the speakers will be from Baker & McKenzie and from Freshfields. And there's no DLA person on the panel at all.
Mm.
Now, to have that kind of collaboration, everyone's talking about outsourcing, which is something that DLA, for example, does extremely well themselves. But they take a backseat, they sit there, listen, and people are sharing substantive knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you see happening in Singapore, just to share an example of the kind of sharing that we have. We do have, you know, training sessions in SAL and Law Society, etc., but not this way, where it's more community organized.
Absolutely.
What we see in legal tech, it's very different. Everyone's coming out, everyone's sharing, everyone's learning from one another's journey.
Everyone is very candid about their own, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And that gives me a lot of hope for the future of this of practice and the future of the younger lawyers coming into this fold, because they're growing up in a culture where they're willing, able, you know, and want to share and learn from each other. So I'm very happy about that. That's, to me, the best thing about this whole experience.
Rajesh, thank you so much. This has been really, really good. Thank you so much.